You're listening to an Edit Audio original. Edit Audio.
If I'm going to peak in high school, what the hell am I going to do with the rest of my life? If the best moments of my life are going to be my senior prom and my first graduation, what am I doing? I have maybe, 80 more years on this earth, and that's going to be my best moment?
Hey, you're listening to Hope This Finds Me Well, a new podcast about the past and future versions of ourselves and what we want to tell them. I'm Sophie, and along with my co-hosts Steph and Maria.
Hello.
Hiya.
I talk to people who have written letters to themselves and schedule them to arrive at some point in the future, usually using this website Future Me that handles all these time capsules of words and emotions. So last time we spoke to Marie from the Midwest, who reflected on so many changes her family and finances had seen over the previous 2 years. This episode, we're zooming right into a period of just 1 month. And we're speaking to Bella, who wrote herself one of the most honest and kind emails we've read. More on that in a bit. First, I want to find out if we all managed to write our own letters.
Such positivity.
I wrote one and I felt like, ugh, I have to write this by tomorrow. Like, I obviously left it till the last minute, but I just, you know, started with a description of the day because I was reading, you know, the old Future Me letters that, like, we read through a bunch of Future Me letters, and a lot of people will be like, it's this date, you know, the weather is this outside, or it's this date, I'm doing this, or I'm sitting here, or I'm listening to this. So I started with that, and then I just wrote, and I honestly don't even remember what I wrote about now, but it was like a page long.
That's great.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
We'll find out.
I feel like that's the classic therapeutic brain dump where you just kind of like let things out and then leave them on the paper.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, as I said last time, this wasn't my first letter that I've written to myself in the future, but it was my first in a while, actually. It also felt weird, honestly. I think because I was aware that this wasn't just for me this time. Mm-hmm. And I actually felt really awkward. Like, I was kind of watching myself do it as I wrote it and like thinking, this isn't very interesting, but carry on because I haven't got anything interesting to say. And then suddenly, like, it was just like, so much stuff just came out, and it was actually really long.
Maria just threw up in the middle of writing her letter.
So yeah, it was odd and it felt awkward, but actually I think it kind of also got a bit personal, so that's hopefully interesting. And maybe I'll reveal some of it. We'll see.
I love that.
Sophie?
I did, and it was weird.
Okay.
I will say it didn't feel natural, and it felt slightly forced. Mm-hmm. But I did it.
Did you have moments where you were, like, stopping yourself from continuing writing and being like, what am I writing about? Or did it, like, flow once you started?
It flowed. It felt like I was literally writing a letter and I was going to like seal it up and send it to someone. I didn't feel like I was like trying to write a novel or something and that I couldn't stop. I guess I tried to have that like very usual letter format. Greeting, some things on my mind, and then like an outro. Like, it was
greetings.
Just so...
Greetings.
Greetings, future self.
So I guess we're not going for the published, this isn't the memoir that's going to come out.
Yes.
Well, yeah, this would be the part in the memoir where it's like, I'm still trying to figure my shit out and like, I don't have it all together. And then they can see my character development.
Okay, yes. Nice. Yeah.
Love it.
It was quite sad how a lot of people in their letters, and I don't know if Will have subconsciously done this, but people are pretty mean to themselves.
Yeah.
And they'll berate themselves in these letters or like put themselves down and for something that is only going to be seen by you, I found that really sad.
Yeah, I also think it just speaks to our like general human behavior of being your own worst critic in a way.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
I feel like a lot of your insecurities or things that you think you don't love about yourself are things that people aren't even thinking about. Not because they're not thinking about you, but they're just like not even like in their minds. Like, only you can really notice the acne on your face, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I agree. I did read a lot of letters where people were quite cruel to themselves, and it's sad that that's our instinct to kind of go there.
I think like also, and you know, I bring this up all the time, but like, there's no way to like exist within capitalism without feeling like you need to be constantly like progressing or like bettering or like, you know, tracking your progress or something. And I think it's especially bad right now productivity culture and all that. And, mm-hmm. you know, these letters, as much as they're like self-reflections, also are like existing in this world where, you know, we're obsessed with this idea. How can I be better? Will I be better? Am I good enough? That automatically comes out every time we talk to ourselves.
It's very totally. True.
But yeah. I do want to say that like Bella is like, you know, younger than all of us, and oh talking God. To her, reading her letter, she's just like so much better than
oh my gosh, she's
like, she has realized, you know, like to be kind to herself and how to like operate in a world and be like self-loving, and you can get that from her letter.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect segue. Bella, when she read her letter, like I felt it. I felt what she was saying to herself, but like in my own way.
Yeah.
You heard her at the start of the episode, so let's just meet her because you will all instantly fall in love with her.
My name's Bella. I'm 18. I live in Utah. I've lived in Utah pretty much my entire life. It's kind of boring here. I graduated high school last semester with my associate's degree, and I'm now in college for my bachelor's in psychology. I really like people, and they're just about my favorite thing. We're so interesting. I don't know. Everyone's so unique to themselves.
So Bella wrote this letter back in April when the U.S. was about a month or so into this pandemic. Remember those days?
Yeah.
So life was obviously pretty turbulent, uncertain at the time. So
yeah.
I wanted to know, is that why Bella chose to write herself like at that time? Or was it just to kind of get her thoughts out on a page?
Mm.
In my college career preparedness class, we were writing letters in February before everything got really crazy to ourselves in May before we graduated. And it was just like a list of things we completed. I was like, oh my gosh, this would be really fun to do like kind of a journal just to kind of see how things change.
Mm.
I remember reading my letter from February and March and being like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how much has just changed. It was so different. Yeah. And so in March, I wrote a letter to myself from March to April, and then I got this one in May. To the lovely Bella, happy 420. I'm so sorry, but I can't help it. This morning, you slept in yet again, despite waking up on time. You were quite frustrated until you opened your email and found your letter from March 23rd. As your friend said, you have a way with words, and the letter made you cry. Twice. After sharing with your friends, you realized you needed to write the next one. First things first. 1. Yes, things did get worse. Utah broke 3,000 cases, 27 plus deaths, and you have been stuck at home for 5 weeks. You risked it for mochi, but you brought your mask and deeply sanitized for it. 2. I'm doing okay. I am yet to get sick, thank God. Prom and senior all-nighter were canceled, and graduation is postponed. It's been hard to accept, but you've come to terms with it. You have regular calls with your friends, and through the power of being petty, got UCAS to somewhat take care of the senior class. They're still doing pretty shit, though. 3. You've got a job. What a relief. It's risky, but you need the money for school next semester. I hope we don't regret this. It has been really hard the last month or so, but you have managed to live with it. Somehow things don't feel too drastically different. I feel unbelievably blessed right now to have both parents able to work from home. We are incredibly lucky. The last letter you wrote was so heartbreaking. It was a rough refresher of how terrible the first week of all of this was, but it made me feel a lot better about how I'm doing. It's hard to not feel like you're constantly failing in times like this. But, not to be redundant, you've made it. You've done it again. Parentheses, read in Michelle Obama's voice. Close parentheses. I hope this serves as a reminder that you seem to never stop going, no matter how difficult things get. You always manage to find a way to pull through, and honestly, it's kind of magical. I hope you know that you're worth it, and that you're kind and loving and capable. Everything you do is worth something, and that's fantastic. Please never stop doing what you're doing. My questions for
now are... I'm gonna cry.
I know, I'm literally crying.
My questions for you now are, 1, is it all over yet? 2, did we regret the job? 3, are you okay? Did you get sick? I really hope you don't. I also have some questions for future, insert long list of friends' names. 1, are you happy? 2, are you doing okay? 3. This one isn't a question. I just wanted to say that I love you and miss you. As always, know that I love you no matter what and that you truly deserve to be happy. Take care of everyone, never stop checking in on them and ensuring that they are thriving too. With hope, love, and with whatever emotion is left in you, Bella.
I think it's fair to say we all had some pretty strong emotional reactions. Can you please write a letter to me? That is exactly what I needed to hear right now.
Rhea, are you crying?
I'm not crying, but my heart is racing.
Aww. Yeah.
It is emotional, but it's also like, it's like strong, like you've got like strength in yourself, right? There's such like fluctuations in the sort of emotions you're going through in that letter. And I don't think you can hear it and not sort of feel those too.
Yeah. Was there a reason you wanted to write this? Like, did it just come over you and you're like, I need to say these things to myself so I can remind myself? Or was it just like, okay, it's been a month. I want to write to myself again.
I try to take care of myself. And I know that sometimes I just need to hear those kinds of things from myself because, you know, things were so uncertain and they're still a little uncertain now. Things have been very chaotic, but being able to remind myself that things are going to be okay, I knew that that was going to be helpful no matter what was going on the next month.
Yeah.
And did you feel that when you received it?
Oh, yeah. When I opened the letter from March, it was such a sad letter to myself. I felt so horrible. It made me cry just because I realized how much had happened and how uncertain things were that first week that everything was shut down. And then, I don't know, I kind of thought, if this is going to happen again in May, I need to take care of myself. I know that reading that letter had so much effect on me. Then reading the next one might as well have the same effect. I could try to recreate that in a positive way.
So you took like the negativity you felt from your original letter and were like, I need to have this same strength of emotion and like conviction, but in a positive way to tell myself, you know, it will get better kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have like a random question that I'm just curious. Do you have like a mantra practice or something? Because this letter to me reads like something very... And I know you said you're like interested in people and like psychology and stuff like that, but do you have like experience with like mantras or like any sort of like cognitive behavioral therapy? Like,
I always try to do mantras and I can never get into the habit of it. It's so awful because I'll be like, okay, this week's going to be different. I'm going to tell myself these mantras. It's going to be so good and I'm going to be so positive and happy. And then like 2 days later, I forget. And that's it.
I also can't get into mantras. Every time I say them, I'm like, this seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's the attitude.
But for some reason, like hearing someone else say it,
it
almost is like a little easier for you to believe in a way. Even though you're reading that letter to yourself just now, like there were so many things that, oh my God, this is going to sound so cheesy, but that I've needed to hear myself. And I guess hearing someone else say it, I don't know, it just like, it hits a little deeper than if you were to like, kind of write it to yourself because like your therapist made you write it.
Yeah.
my therapist makes me write a lot of that kind of stuff to myself and I almost never believe it, but just for some reason seeing someone else say it to themselves, I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens to some extent though also in writing a letter to your future self where it's like it's not yourself in that moment that's reading it, but it's like a different version of you that's telling you something, you know, in the way that it's easier to hear your friend's mantras and be like, oh yeah, that's beautiful. I'm going to tell myself that. You give yourself the same sort of like slack when it's a past version of you telling yourself something beautiful.
Totally.
Knowing that maybe the only way I was going to get the kind of comfort that was going to be really positive and helpful was going to be from myself. You know, those letters are really a form of self-care.
Totally.
Did you feel that while writing them? Like, did you have any sort of like release while writing them? Or do you think it was in receiving the like assurance from it after that you got that feeling?
All the COVID stuff and all that was definitely a giant like weight on my shoulders. It made things really, really hard to focus on and just be straightforward, focus on my school and do things. But writing the letters really took that off. It was just a place where I could put it all and forget about it for a month. Just be able to relax for a second.
I also love the idea of like a past self being kind to a future self. Like,
yes.
I just think that's so nice because like we're just, all so hard on ourselves all of the time, especially right now when the world is literally exploding. Yeah. It's so nice to think that you had the clarity in that moment to recognize that the thing that you would need is to be nice to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep doing that, Bella. That is like something I've been paying a lot of money in therapy to try and do. And you've just like got it figured out pretty early. So run with that.
And also, I think if we all do it in Michelle Obama's voice, that's always going to be helpful, right? One thing that stuck out to me was that, so like really near the beginning of the letter, you don't even like mention what really is happening in the world, like explicitly in that first paragraph, but then like you answer your questions and we all just instantly know when you say, yes, it did get worse. We're all like, I know what this is about. And mm-hmm. I found that really striking and also like sad really that we're able to like instantly tell what's going on in your life because of that one sentence. Mm. How did you feel when you read that back, because you didn't include the question, but obviously you're you, so you know what question you asked yourself.
It's so hard to put it into words. It's just, there's so much going on and so many terrible things happening all at once. Like you're saying, it is really sad that we can read, yes, it got worse, and all know that we're talking about COVID and the state mm-hmm. of the countries and all that stuff. It's just crazy. I don't know how else to say it.
I was curious as to like how you felt. It seems like obviously this was your graduating year from high school.
Right.
How was that throughout all this? Like, I can't even, like, not that I actually necessarily enjoyed my prom or liked high school that much, but that was just me. I know a lot of people are very different. But I still think missing those like milestone, quote unquote, moments would be shitty and like hard and like kind of unsatisfying mm-hmm. way to like end the year.
Gosh. So when everything was closing down, it was probably the second week into virtual school. They just sent us one message, just one. And they were like, graduation, postponed, prom, canceled, senior all-nighter.
Oh my gosh.
No sympathy. There was no, like, we're so sorry to tell you. It was just, like, prom, canceled, senior all-nighter, cancel. Like,
harsh.
Me and my friends were sitting there talking about it, like, oh, my God. What did we just read? Did they really just tell us like that? And so it was really rough at first because, you know, they put so much emphasis, like, this is your senior prom. This is, you know, this is the end of the 12 years in your K through 12, you know. This is going to be monumentous. It's so important. And then just hearing that was kind of soul-crushing at first. And then it took me a little while to think about it and cope with it. And then I decided, if I'm going to peak in high school, what the hell am I going to do with the rest of my life? If the best moments of my life are going to be my senior prom and my first graduation, what am I doing? I have maybe, what, 80 more years on this earth, and that's going to be my best moment? I think that's what saved my mentality. I was like, it's fine. I can live without a dance. I had a bunch of other dances. I'll have a graduation when I finish my other schooling. I can live through it. I just wish they had been kinder about it. Just gentler.
Yeah, they build that up for you, like you said, for 12 years to be like this very, in reality, it's not that cool. Usually it's just like bad food and you get to dance with your friends, but they like built it up for you. And then it's like one email. It's like getting broken up with over email. It's like,
yeah, what? Seriously, it was just frustrating because they just never acted like they cared. And I brought that up in the letter. Me and my two really close friends, we were so upset about it. We created a whole anonymous Gmail account. We emailed the heads of the school a really lengthy like letter talking about how disappointed we were in their ability
Good for
to
you.
Thank you. We were so proud of it. It was so lengthy and like detailed, and we were just like, we're so disappointed in you. You just don't care about the senior class. You don't recognize how much we're going through right now, and you just don't care. And The day after we sent that email, we got an email from the principal being like, senior class of 2020, we're so proud of you. Oh my gosh, you guys. And it was this long letter, like, we're so proud of you and blah, 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 blah. It was, we laughed so hard.
Oh, she's so great, like fighting on behalf of her whole class to get respect and even just a sign of like emotional support. Like, so cool. I'm obsessed with her. I think it also shows just like how Bella is an amazing human who writes compassionate letters to herself, but then she's also thinking about how others are treated too. Like, you can hear it in her letter. She's like talking to her friends and asking questions about them. And I don't know. Oh, totally. She's so thoughtful.
Yeah. I think that became even clearer when Sophie asked her the next question.
Also, we should probably just mention here that we spoke to Bella before the US election happened in November. So obviously, things have changed. So while a lot of what she's about to say is definitely still true, if we were having this conversation now, it would probably be a little different.
Maybe.
I have a question. I mean, it's not really in your letter, but well, Maria's in England and Steph and I are in Canada, so we don't know what it's like to be in the States, and the States is like, it's such like a, I don't know, I feel like everyone's looking at the States right now and being like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. Things are bad where we live, but we see sometimes in the States and we're like, okay, we don't have it that bad. What's it like being a young person in the United States right now?
It is so hectic to be... You know, in a time where we're so split, we're very, very, very deeply divided. And it's kind of hard. I have stopped being friends with some people just because they were so hateful. I can't even describe it. It's like, there's a point, people will always say like, oh, you can be friends with people with different opinions. But like, things like racism and homophobia aren't opinions, that's prejudice. And if you aren't willing, if you aren't willing to acknowledge that you're hurting real people just like you, then I don't want to talk to you. Yeah. There are so many closed-minded people. I think that's the hardest thing right now.
Yeah.
They'll even claim to be so religious and so holy and righteous and then turn to someone and call them racial slurs and be like, you're gross. You don't matter. You don't matter. Like, mm-hmm. You are not, like... I just don't know how... I'm not even a religious person, but I grew up religious, so I know enough about the Bible to be like, you are... Jesus would hate you. Like, what do you...
Yo, Jesus would hate you. That's what I'm going to use next time. Anyone says anything shitty, I'm like, did you know Jesus would actually hate you?
It's like, when we're in times like this, there's just no room to be closed-minded. You have a phone and you have Google, most people do. And you can read about how your opinions are, you know, hurting people. You can read about systemic racism, and you can read about how trans youth in Utah are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide. Like, you are, it's not, you can't pretend to be a good person, and you can't pretend to care and love about people, and then go around and hurt them so deeply that they turn to horrible things like suicide. It's not good. It's so horrible. It's like, I want to talk to you. I like people. I don't want to be mean to you, and I don't want to not be friends with you. But there's a line. And with that's what you have to think about. It's like, what is politics doing to us? What is our country doing to us? Why are you thinking like that? And it usually they can't even come up with an answer. It's like, oh, why do you think that? And it's just because they always go, oh, well, because there's no there's no reason.
Yeah.
Bella, I would listen to a podcast of yours.
Thank you.
We're living it, Sophie.
By the way, if you just heard that stat from Bella about suicide rates among trans youth in Utah and were as horrified as me and want to do some more reading, we have some resources for you. We weren't able to verify the exact figure that she mentioned offhand, but we have compiled a list of useful studies, websites, and orgs where you can donate. We'll be sure to share these at the end of the episode, and obviously we'll be in our show notes.
I will say also, like, yeah. If you're, like, willing to talk about it, Utah is kind of a special place within the States.
Yes.
Like, a very special bubble. I don't know if it's a bubble, but, you know, as far as states go.
The thing is that people will be like, you need to understand the people around you, right? It's like, I understand that they're so unwilling to be open-minded and learn about the other side that I know enough already. And people in Utah especially, they like to pretend that we're very, very perfect. It's it's a heavy culture here. It's the pressure to be perfect. And, you know, you walk around perfect suburbs, the perfect family with 5 kids and 2 parents and a dog. You know, people really, really think that's the only way you can live. So it's kind of hurtful to live in a place that is so bubbled and protected that when a lot of these Utah kids grow up, they don't know what to do in a world that, you know, they're so protected, they don't know what is happening. Yeah. And it's just, when you raise kids in a bubble, you protect them from nothing. You're making it harder for them to be an adult. You know, when they grow up and go to college, they're going to meet all these different people from all different backgrounds, and they're not going to know how to handle it. And that's what Utah does to a lot of kids. It's really unfortunate.
I mean, talking to someone like you, a young person like you, restores my faith in America in a way. I don't know. It's so easy from us from the outside to be like, America's shit. Like, what are they doing? But there's so many beautiful people, beautiful young people in the States. I don't know. It's nice to talk to one of them.
Thank you.
And I think the idea of living in a singular version of perfection creates a lot of self-hatred when you are, like, not able to fit into that mold. And, you know, you don't have to be, like, queer or, you know, have an adopted kid and 3 from a different marriage to be outside of that. You can just simply feel like you're not good enough. And it's clear even in your letter that you've, like, done a lot of thinking on how to take care of yourself and those negative thoughts. And I think that's really beautiful and something we can all learn from.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bella told us that since this letter was delivered in May, she's written a few more. One arrived in June, one arrived in July, which she didn't even remember sending. I guess that happens to everyone. And then she took kind of like a summer hiatus, I guess. But she wants to carry on periodically, like kind of like a ad hoc journal.
Yeah, and in this letter that Bella read to us, she asked herself a few specific questions.
1, is it all over yet? 2, did we regret the job? 3, are you okay? Did you get sick? I really hope you don't.
But she also had received a few other letters by the time we talked to her. And, you know, I wanted to know, did she answer those questions in the next letter, in the one that arrived in June?
Oh, yes, I did. I answered and I said, no, it's not all over yet. Unfortunately, we live in a country run by quite possibly the dumbest people to walk the earth. Not only is it not over, it's worse than it was in the beginning. Utah is beginning to have more cases than some countries, entire countries.
Wow.
And then the second question I answered, I said, yes, we regretted the job a lot. The people were horrible. And you left within the first week over the unbearable management and fear of getting sick. You decided it wasn't worth the risk. The third question I answered, I said, I'm okay, a little scared, sometimes melancholy, but you've also been able to still have lots of enjoyable moments. Your summer has been interesting. You finally got the piano you've always wanted. You got attacked by a poor kitty who was scared because they were lost and you found them. Had several problems with your school over diplomas and yearbooks, but had lots of movie nights, beautiful bike rides, and fun yet careful hangouts with your friends.
That sounds dreamy.
These questions to your friends, too. I'm like, my heart. I'm going to take them and go follow up with my friends after this.
Are you happy? Are you doing okay? I love you.
Can you tell us about the piano? Is that something that you've wanted to start with for ages, or have you, like, always practiced at school or something and you had to sort of bring it in-house?
So when I was little, all my friends were forced to learn how to play the piano. So I always was like, ugh, the piano's gross. The piano's awful. And then I became a teenager and I was like, wow, I really wish I could read notes. Why is that a skill I don't have? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I got a keyboard for my birthday, just a little, I don't know, dinky one. It was awesome. Really, really cruddy, but it's okay. It's a good start. And then our friend down the street was moving, and he didn't want to bring his whole piano, so he just gave it to us. We didn't even have to buy it. So now we have a piano, and I've been learning to play that. That's how I spent a lot of the summer.
Amazing.
Wow. I'm sure my siblings are annoyed, but it's okay.
It's worth it. I just feel like you're living the COVID reality that, like, in March when everyone was like, I'm going to learn an instrument and, like, all this stuff. And it's like, I'm going to be kind to myself. But it's like, you're actually doing those things. And I just want to, like, high five you. And I hope that you feel that about yourself, because we obviously all feel it about you.
Thank you.
And you're taking psych, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Okay. When you graduate, can you be my therapist?
Like, of course.
Can I get that in writing that you will be my therapist once you graduate? You don't even need your PhD. Like, it's fine. I just want to talk to you.
For sure. Yeah. I'd talk to you just for fun. You guys are all so sweet.
Oh my God. Have we made a lifetime friendship out of this?
Yes. Yeah. So every Thursday night, right? This is
yeah. This is amazing. Maybe I came off a little too strong to Bella with the whole be my therapist thing, but, like, I don't know. Like, I haven't felt inspired by someone like that in a long time. Like, yeah. There's something just more inspiring about cool young people that is just, like, yeah. I don't know. It gives you a little bit of hope. And she was just so loving. Like, I just want to be her best friend again.
I think you got to choose whether you want to be her best friend or her client. That could make for a tricky relationship.
Fix me, Bella. Fix me.
I mean, I hope people listening get some hope in this weird time in the world, because we definitely got that from Bella.
Yeah. And like Sophie, you said that hearing her say those kind words to herself, even though they were to her, they impacted you. So hopefully you listening can also have the same experience where just listen to her repeat that on a loop. Just keep skipping back 15 seconds, because we all need to hear people just say, you're doing amazing, I'm proud of you, and all that stuff. Yeah. We need those affirmations.
Bella will give you all the mantras you need. Thank you so much to Bella for talking to us and for being such a good human, telling us all what we really needed to hear in times of crises, or really any day. We wish you all the luck with your studies. In this episode, we mentioned mental health and the suicide rates in the trans community. If you are struggling, you can contact the Trans Lifeline at 1-877-565-8860. If you are a cis ally, please consider donating to Trans Lifeline or a trans organization in your community. If you're in Utah, you can find support at or give support to N-Circle, Gender Bands, Transgender Education Advocates of Utah, and Mama Dragons. You can find links to all of these in the show notes, alongside some more useful resources and studies. Hope This Finds Me Well is an Edit Audio original production, hosted and produced by me, Sophie Shin, Steph Colburn, and Maria Passingham, and made with help from our amazing Edit Audio team. Thank you. The music is from Audio Network, and a big thanks to Matt for creating Future Me and collaborating with us on the show by getting us in touch with the letter writers. You can visit futureme.org to write your own letter, and if you have one you recently received and would like to talk to us about, email us at hello@editaud.io. So that's hello@editaud.io. The email address is also going to be in the show notes.